KBOW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A federal judge is giving the Trump administration 2 weeks to prove it is working to return a man wrongly deported to prison back to the United States. There was a court order barring Kilmar Albrego Garcia from being sent to El Salvador, but he was sent there anyway. Dow futures once again pointing to a lower open on Wall Street. A teenage suspect now in custody after a shooting at a high school in Dallas. ABC's Jim Ryan is there.
17-year-old Tracy Haynes was booked into jail before midnight to face a charge called aggravated assault mass shooting. Like the suspect, the four victims are all boys and they are all expected to recover. Bond for Tracy Haynes was set at $600,000.
Gaza's Hamas-run government media office is warning in a statement that the Strip is entering a phase of complete humanitarian collapse as Israel continues to bar the entry of aid. The statement comes after Israel said ground troops will stay in Gaza indefinitely. This is ABC News. A two-year-old boy found 16 hours after wandering away from his Arizona home. ABC's Dave Packer has more on who or what kept the boy safe.
Arizona rescuers searched all Monday night for two-year-old Bowden Allen, rancher Scotty Dunton.
I'd heard about the missing child before I was going to town, and when I was driving out the driveway, I noticed my dog was sitting down by the entrance, and I look up and the little kid standing there with my dog.
Dunton says his dog Buford likely protected the boy from mountain lions.
He loves kids, so I can imagine he wouldn't leave him when he found him.
The boy says he slept all night under a tree before the dog found him. As a reward, Dunton says Buford has a nice juicy steak coming his way. Dave Packer, ABC News.
A city council leader in Birmingham, England, says the garbage strike there cannot continue and is urging a new round of talks. Tons of garbage has been piling up on streets for weeks now. People have reported seeing cat-sized rats near their homes. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. More fiber?
What?
Down here, buddy. It's me, your spoon. Constipation with belly pain still coming back?
Yeah.
Talk to your doctor. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, but Linzess could help you get ahead of it.
Linzess Linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
The Brewers blanked the Tigers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Tigers last night 5-0, snapping a 3-game losing streak for Milwaukee. Brewers starter Quinn Priester asked if he knew he had a no-hitter going into the sixth inning.
Yeah, but I also was kind of aware that the pitch count was up there and likely was going to have to turn the ball over, and fortunately didn't turn the ball over with the zero on the hit column still. Jared came in, dominated, got, you know, saved me that run and saved us that run, and the bullpen just shut it down.
College football, Wisconsin Badgers need a new starting left tackle. Luke Fickle announcing that Kevin Haywood suffered a torn ACL during the team's spring practices last Thursday. He'll be out for the season. NBA, the Bucks' Damian Lillard is back on the court after missing the past month with a blood clot in his right calf muscle. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
It's just really skeleton stuff. No contact. He can exert himself more, which is good.
The Bucks face the Pacers Saturday in round one of the playoffs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's a film that might amuse you if you're just in the mood to sort of zone out. The Amateur, starring Rami Malek, is what I would describe as halfway decent entertainment on the big screen, but there just isn't a whole lot there. Malek plays a CIA analyst who wants to avenge the death of his wife. He does just that, and there are some interesting scenes involving his revenge, but nothing is ever really explained. It's directed well, and there are some cool scenes and a good pace, but it lacks substance, and frankly, Malek seems miscast in his own film. That's right, he's also a producer. Get ready, folks. folks, the playoffs are right around the corner. Of course, I'm talking about the music competition show, The Voice. Season 27 playoffs start in late April, and the show is adding what they call mega mentors in Sheryl Crow and Leanne Rimes. The two will be on opposing teams led by Michael Bublé and John Legend, respectively. The Voice airs Monday nights at 8 p.m. on NBC. I'd love to be a mega mentor. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Not a bad mid-April day with sunny skies, and we finally get a break from the wind as well. High temperatures in the lower 50s. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows in the mid-30s. On Thursday, some showers developing in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 50s. Current temperature is 33.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll discuss a new way to vote, along with our friend Trigby Olson and Tara Ariano with Best New TV Shows. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Second hour for Mino the Mayor here on a nice looking Wednesday. 33 in Green Bay, 36 in Appleton. That's the high around the area. 34 in Oshkosh, lower 50s today. Sunny. Hopefully that wind won't be too bad. Happy birthday, John Cryer, 60 years old from Two and a Half Men.
He was in Two and a Half Men, yeah.
Thank you for nodding, Mary. Bill Belichick, 73. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
How ookie are those pictures?
With
Mary?
His 26-year-old girlfriend? Right.
Oh, she's 26
she's
now.
She's in her 20s.
Okay. I thought she was 24.
Yeah, yeah so did I.
So, yeah.
You
I
know
mean,
what?
I'm sorry, right?
I mean, what a
to
guy.
To each their own.
But not... Oh, that's okay, but really, to get out in front of the press with all that guy had a kind of a Vince Lombardi type reputation to me.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
To me, and I don't know about...
Now he's a weird guy.
Right, now he's a creepy guy.
Yeah.
Like somebody like you who's young that I don't know how you saw him as, but he was like a... Right?
What? How many Super Bowls did they win? Seven or something? Yeah. Something crazy? So...
And but to parade with what she was wearing, it's like, really, do you have to do that? I don't mind what people do.
But you know who did that first? His old boss, Robert Kraft. They did this big thing. His wife was dying before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know,
we're
right.
Dedicating this to Marsha.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Literally, a couple months later, well, here's my new fiance, Bambi.
Oh,
yeah,
my
right.
gosh.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's...
Is that called a late life crisis instead of a midlife?
Something.
But if it is... Stay out of the press. I mean, this guy's parading her around.
That's just a little bit too much. Yeah, I mean, they're doing red carpets.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So I want to bring Mary in on the poll.
Okay.
Can we do that?
By the way, we're with Mary Rohde, Vice President of Marketing Communications on Broadway Corporation.
Good morning.
And she is totally tuned in to this whole NFL draft, which we're going to get to, but first things first.
First things
So, Mary,
we'll get to that, Mary.
The poll is
the main reason you're here.
Yes.
Todd, go ahead.
So, Mino says that there's nothing wrong with, like, waking up on a Saturday morning and hopping in your car and going to the store wearing whatever you wore to bed. Have you ever...
Because sweats these days
sweats, pajamas,
are 24-hour entities.
So, like, when you go to Walmart, right, and these people are wearing their pajamas. So,
right.
John thinks that's acceptable on a Saturday or Sunday. Whatever you slept in, go ahead, get in the car.
But it's the same thing that you could be wearing at Western Racket, and people would say, oh, those are nice
I would never
sweats.
Do
no,
that.
No, because that's like athletic wear. Like, I'm thinking,
okay.
you know.
Listen,
I wear
athletic
just
wear
let her talk, let her speak.
I don't mean to turn all the women on out there, but I wear athletic wear to bed.
Okay, we were just talking about Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
That's just back
up. Okay, all right, backing up.
We're entering the creepy stage.
Okay, Mary.
So you see people at, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night at Walmart in their Tweety Bird sweatpants and their, you know, Donald Duck t-shirt, right? And they probably go to bed and then wake up in the same thing and do God knows what. Myself, personally, you know, I've done some... my son and I, we love to go to the donut store, as we call it, Uncle Mike's, on a Saturday morning. I will definitely... I won't, like, put jeans on, but I'll put, like, a pair of leggings or
I'll change my clothes.
Because I sleep in shorts and a t-shirt.
So right. That is a no. So like, right.
If it was 90 degrees out, would you wear those shorts and a t-shirt to the
She would change it.
I would change my clothes.
Right. You just got to run and buy a bottle of juice for your son who desperately needs his juice.
Nope. That he should.
I would change my clothes. Yeah. You know, I might throw a baseball hat on or something, but I'd at least put some chapstick and some change my clothes.
Grab another t-shirt.
Yeah.
Because they're all stacked. Okay. Yeah. John.
Clean socks, you know.
Right.
Everybody to go to a Walmart?
Yes.
On a Saturday morning.
Okay, I value John, that my, my you've this never may been sound to jaded, and you but would, I value my public appearance.
Well, not even that. You're just doing it for yourself. You're just for your self-worth.
Yeah. Thank you.
Because it was 95% people agree with you, but John's like really holding on to this 5% that texted
the
in from the guy.
The athletes haven't chimed in yet.
Yeah, right. The athletes. And look at her.
The fellow athlete.
She's not an athlete. Hey,
crickets on the old text on that one.
I've been an early morning Western Racket girl.
Right.
But I also have like workout clothes on, which is different than my pajamas.
Right. Sleepwear.
Sorry.
Okay.
Thanks, Mary.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's Mary, on Broadway. Happening. You got a lot going on, but we talked about the public market. We talked about all the infrastructure you're doing there, but we're going to talk about the NFL draft.
Let's talk about it.
And
it's here.
Thank you for the commemorative beer.
Well, you want to just show that in the on the camera, but tell us about the commemorative beer.
Yeah. So this was a really fun effort between nine local to Green Bay breweries here. They're all, you can see all their logos along the bottom of the can there. And they all got together to put together what's called the eighth round downtown.
I did not notice that all their logos surround the can. Yeah. That's very cool.
Yeah. So this is a really easy to drink pale ale and has some. I haven't even tried it yet. So it's funny that I'm just talking like I know. But I'm excited to try it. We haven't cracked a can yet.
I don't want to. I want to keep this as like commemorative.
It is a very cool can. We're thrilled with the design and how it came out. Obviously, it ties to all the branding for Draft City Music Fest. So this will be tapped today in seven of those nine brewery tap rooms. So you can head there for happy hour this afternoon. Or you can plan on getting a can for yourself or those you love at the Draft City Music Fest next week, Wednesday evening and next week, Saturday evening.
Okay, touch on those things. Is that the one Wednesday especially because you got an awesome thing going on at 8:30 there.
It's a biggie. Yeah.
So let's talk about that. Yeah. So that Wednesday is kind of akin to the open ceremony.
It's our kickoff, right? We've been calling it that from the get-go, and then we decided let's just call it that, and then WPS Foundation graciously stepped up and sponsored it. So it is the WPS Foundation draft kickoff event. It starts at 4 o'clock next week, Wednesday, goes until 11. De La Soul, 90s hip-hop band, is our headliner that night. But we have an awesome musical lineup. But they're all, in addition to that, there is a kid zone. So this is completely family friendly. There's an awesome kid zone. Burke has stepped up to provide some really great playground equipment. Mischief and Magic will be there with face painting and all of their amazing things. So much to do, bounce houses, et cetera. We have Jabasso coming and setting up a mobile skate park, doing some demos, all that kind of stuff. We have TDS who stepped up, and they're going to be our Glow Zone partners. So as nighttime falls, as dusk falls upon us, you'll have some really awesome glow gear that you'll be able to light up the night with.
And are you guys having a drone show?
We are not.
Okay.
We will be having fireworks presented by Festival Foods that will go off about 8:30. And these will be shot off right in the middle of the Fox River from three barges. This has never been done before. And I like to say that because people are like, we've seen fireworks in downtown. Well, sure you have. If you come to Fire Over the Fox, we light them off right on the shoreline. This is different. This is a 20-minute show themed to music, and it's in
the
middle of
April. So where
are the
barges? Just right up other side of the bridge here? Or?
Yeah, I mean, they'll be adjacent to Light Park. In the middle of the river. It is going to be a spectacular show.
Are people allowed to bring their boats up and, like, sit around?
There will be, obviously, a safety zone, a fallout zone, just like there is for Fire Over the Fox.
Okay.
So if you want to launch your boat, you're not going to be able to get super close.
Right.
But you'll be able to see them from anywhere in downtown. Dousman Street Bridge will also be shut down that day. So beautiful, awesome, perfect viewing spot. City Deck. I mean, behind the Hampton Inn there, the old WPS parking lot. Like those, there's plenty of amazing viewing spots for these fireworks.
Are there launching spots for kayaks? Because I might take my kayak out. and watch.
He's never been on a kayak.
Anyway,
I mean, I
you can't take kayaks.
I have to. Can you?
He doesn't strike me as an active kayaker.
Okay. But he comes out in his pajamas. It's a great scene. So that is that's Wednesday night.
Wednesday, yeah.
But I just Tuesday, that, as you know, because it's in the Broadway district, the new community shelter, NFL is coming and serving dinner on Tuesday evening. Did you know that?
How lovely.
With Little Caesars. They're bringing 400 pizzas.
Oh, my gosh.
And face painting, and that's going to be very cool.
We were told about a lot of those community-based events that they did in Detroit. And so we were kind of waiting to see, like, what are they going to do?
Aaron said he's going to put something out today on that.
Great.
But anyway, that's in your district.
That's going to be
awesome. All right, so what else? Let's talk about the draft and your connection with the draft. Transit, all that kind of stuff. You want to touch on that?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the draft is and the NFL is concerned, you know, we've been, I'll say in contact with them, certainly through the Packers and through Discover Green Bay since it was announced last year. And by we, I mean on Broadway, Downtown Green Bay Inc., the City of Green Bay, City Parks and Rec. We formed this little ad hoc downtown planning committee to put all of these amazing events together that start Wednesday and go through Saturday. There's a full list of events happening for the community. So we've worked to really plan our events on the shoulder times of the draft, understanding and just wanting to be a good partner with the NFL. We're thrilled they're in town, and we also want to do what we do best, and that's provide community events and bring people to downtown. Downtown is the heart of the city, and we want people to come down and support the small businesses that call this place home and see what we have to offer here. So,
Everything we talked about, the Booyah Fest, that's going to be happening on Saturday. You got the Farmers Market, that's also on Friday.
Yep, the Booyah Battle and Kringle Combine are on Friday.
Yeah. At 10 o'clock.
Those start at 10 o'clock right here on Washington Street. And then the Draft Day 5K, which is completely sold out, by the way.
Cool. Are you serious?
Yeah, you missed the boat, John. Sorry.
Maybe
you can bring your kayak and row alongside.
Maybe I will.
You know?
Maybe I will.
He's just going to get out of bed and just wear what he had on and boom.
Hop in his kayak. Yeah. So that'll be happening 9 a.m. on City Deck on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then the Farmers Market is at 10 on Saturday, again on Washington Street. There's also the Living Packers Heritage Trail. That's on Thursday. There are 11 stops where you can see live actors actually act out and impersonate those specific Heritage Trail stops. So there's a lot of excitement around that event because it's something we've definitely never done before.
Right.
So.
All right. What? And then how about say Saturday night too.
And then
I think
Saturday
that's really
too.
Cool
so Saturday is the kind of the second half of the Draft City Music Fest. That's kicks off at 5 o'clock on Saturday. Less Than Jake is the headliner that night, but a lot of great other bands as well leading up to that. Again, Kids Zone will be there. There'll be another taste of the pale ale in can format at that event as well. So
I like how you did the poster. It makes it look like these. Ferris wheel is right downtown.
It is definitely very artistic.
This is a cool poster.
It's
I
a
like
great
that.
Poster.
That's artwork.
So there will be some commemorative posters, very similar looking to this, available for sale at the event as well. People have really grabbed onto it and loved it. So
it's awesome. That's really cool. Stick around, Mary.
Yeah.
Can you stick around for a few minutes?
Sure.
We're at Mary Rohde, Vice President of Market Communication on Broadway Corporation. It's here. I mean, it's here. You a Bobby Vinton fan?
I've heard of him.
Oh, my God.
Were your parents big Bobby Vinton fans?
Probably.
He's 90 today. He is the Polish prince. He is probably the, next to Liberace, he's got to be one of the most famous musicians in history.
So I probably
there you go.
Should, yeah.
The Polish prince. Blue Velvet.
You a polka dancer?
Sure. Okay.
You a polka dancer?
He is. Just,
let's get out there on the dance floor, Mary.
Gives me the
come
chills.
On
he's not like he's not that kind of Polish. This guy, no.
Cut
this
her
guy,
off. Here
no,
we go.
Nothing like that.
Every time they hear that oompa pa, everybody feels so tra-la-la.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hi, I'm Kristen Ambos, Wisconsin's number one female loan officer for residential mortgages. Every loan is unique, and I'm committed to your financial well-being. Let's chat today at 920-606-1156 and check out my podcast, Always on Point.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info at WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Bobby Vinton.
Hey.
He's my favorite. Like, I'm not kidding you. He's probably one of my favorite entertainers.
Listen to you.
He's just got a great voice.
Mary's getting into it.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you haven't danced that at a Brewers game, who are
exactly.
you?
Exactly.
Right.
Absolutely. You know what I think was fun? Remember the game we had at Green Bay East? The 100th anniversary?
Yeah,
and the Badger band was there. And they kept playing this. And the band people were all out there dancing with everybody.
Oh, fifth quarter.
Oh, yeah. Aren't they awesome? Yeah. I don't care how. There are times where it's like, you know, play the Packer game and Packers would lose or whatever. It's like, everybody's ticked off.
Yeah.
And then that band would come
and
you forget
happens.
All about it.
Nobody would leave.
Nobody would leave.
No. I've been to at least two Packers games where the Badger band was there. And it is
they saved the
so
day.
Fun. Were you, they do.
Were you here for the LSU game?
I mean, I lived here. I didn't go to the game.
Well, anyway, they did a parade down here, and they ended up at Titletown Brewery. And then they did a concert there, or a show, I should say. It's not a concert. It's a show, and those guys show up. And that was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, they're the ultimate entertainers.
They're awesome.
And you know how you get stressed out when you try to make the play or you try to make the team? It's the same deal when you try to make the band when you go to Madison. It's a big
heard
deal.
That.
Yeah, for sure. So, which I didn't, but anyway. Okay.
Got text here. Go on Broadway, Patrick. Yes.
Thank you, Patrick.
So, you have that Light Park is going to be the happening place.
We sure hope so. I mean, we can see the weather forecast now, which is putting us a little bit at ease because you know, we had backup plans, right? We were prepared, but we hoped that we didn't have to use them.
So how are you communicating, besides through WGBW, with the visitors?
I mean, this is the only way?
Yeah.
No, you have a ban on every other way.
If they come close to hitting their numbers of 200, 225, 50,000... The one pass, right? I mean, you're obviously on there, right?
So that's been, you know, our events are not on the one pass app, unfortunately. We were hoped that they would possibly be put on there, but it was never promised. It was never agreed. These are not NFL sanctioned events. They're completely separate. The transportation, however, the bus route that will take you from downtown to Titletown, as it's coined, is on the one
pass
app.
Did you come up with that?
I didn't. Yes, gosh, it's so good though. It's got a good ring to it.
I would take credit. Just saying.
Quick, it just came out, so exactly. Quick jump on it.
So we're thrilled at least that made it on the One Pass app, that folks know that they can take public transit. I think, you know, public transportation is not like it is in a bigger city here. And so I think if you have fans coming who are accustomed to that, they're going to seek it out. And so I'm glad that is included, that people know that they can park downtown here in the ramps, potentially cheaper than they can park on a lawn. Not to discredit that experience. I get it. I've done it. It's awesome. But, you know, if you want a little bit cheaper option and be able to experience all the amazing things in downtown, but also get a ride to the campus, that bus route is the way to do it.
Yeah, I guess my question is, you've put a lot into this.
It's been a lot of work.
That's true. I think you and James was on yesterday, and
it's been a team effort.
But I it's for the people, obviously, in Green Bay. But you're hoping to get people from all over the country that
are
here. And my question to you is, how are you connecting with them? We had the lady on from Fox City's Chamber.
Yeah,
she was great. And
they're doing shuttles from Fox River Mall.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Okay, and is there going to be something on the bus saying, look, you can come? My question is, how are we connecting with the people that are coming in from Seattle and from Boston?
That's hard, right? Because marketing dollars only go so far. So our marketing efforts for this event have, we did a statewide reach with them from a digital standpoint. So people throughout Wisconsin, or as they hopefully cross the Wisconsin border, they'll hopefully be served those, you know, Google search ads or Facebook ads or whatever for this event, because we did only have so many marketing dollars. Right. We can't market, unfortunately, nationwide, right? So we hope once people get here, we've done a good job of some guerrilla grassroots marketing of getting our rack cards, our posters, things like that into hotels, and as best we can, just getting the word out that there's other things to do for people who are looking for other things to do.
You know, I can say one thing at Light Park. I was there when we dedicated that. Remember, Jim?
That
was just a wasteland at one time. But that is like a perfect thing geographically, like in the fall when you guys had some things there.
We did Fall Fest over there.
Yeah, and I'd hear them, and I'd walk over there, and it's like, it is a really cool setup.
It's great.
I don't know if it was designed that way, but for something like that, that close to the water, but yet enough room for what you guys are putting on, you couldn't ask for a better location, do you think?
Well, and more to come. And so I think it's cool to share, too, that some of the tips that we receive at the event, proceeds from the beer, are going to help the next phase of Light Park.
Yeah. That's cool.
So we're hopeful that people take a peek at those renderings while they're at the event and want to help us build the next great Light Park.
And the music comes out great there because it goes over the water.
Right.
When it comes this way, it sounds really good.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a fun night.
It's a great venue.
Wow.
It has a vision, and it's got a great future, but it needs permanent restrooms. It needs a lot of things.
It does. Yep.
But it's
And it'll get there.
You're right. The location is there. It's on the water.
For being a downtown type thing.
Right.
Yeah.
It is.
To have that much room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's going to be great. Well, thanks for all you're doing on this. I was talking to James yesterday, who, of course, runs the park system in Green Bay. And, you know, Aaron Popke, there's just been a lot of, I'm not calling it fragmented, but there's been a lot of different units that have had to work together to pull this off.
This has been such a joy. And I think if you ask any of us, whether it's, you know, James or Jen from downtown, or even, you know, we work with Discover Green Bay all the time. But this takes it to this is 2.0. This is a whole nother level. And we have truly all enjoyed being able to work this closely together to bring something this awesome to the community. And we just really hope that people stick around. I think people were so, oh my gosh, I want to get out of town. I don't want to deal with it. Please stay. This is going to be something so cool to be a part of. And even if you don't want to put up with all the people at the campus, just be grateful and thankful that Green Bay is being offered the opportunity to host something like this.
Well, you know what the part I'm kind of proud of for this community? Okay, it's a one-time deal. Yeah. You could attend other people's drafts, but still you've never actually put something like this on before.
Right.
You got one shot at it, maybe for eternity. The world is watching.
The world is watching.
But the attitude around here amongst people like yourself at some of the businesses, like, we got this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like,
There's a little bit of shaky confidence in there, yeah.
You know what? It's like, that's great, NFL, all these great things, but you know what? We know how to throw a party.
We do.
Yeah. Mary Rohde, great having you on. Congratulations on all the great work you're doing.
Thank you.
Keep it going. All right, we're going to start a quick break. Back after this.
Above, the Lord smiled down on me and sent an angel to love.
You are my special angel, right from paradise.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Lawmakers are talking about some of the most aggressive reforms in energy legislation the state's seen in a while. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. And why is agriculture paying attention to it? Because farmland preservation is a part of the conversation and taking a new approach to wind and solar siting. State Representative Travis Tranel chairs the Assembly Agriculture Committee and explains why he's planning for the future with this legislation.
Simply put, the way we did it, we said, if you're going to build this stuff on the best land, for every 1 acre for these large projects that you're going to use, you have to buy an agriculture conservation easement on 4 other acres. So essentially what you're doing is you're protecting 80% of the best farmland in the state. And if you go down to maybe some of the land that's not the greatest but still pretty darn good, we lowered the ratio from 4-1 to 2-1.
State Representative Travis Tranel talking about the Wisconsin Energy Reform Act of 2025. He's hoping the farmland preservation provision within that legislation around utilities will hopefully allow utilities to site renewable energy projects only with approval from the Wisconsin Public Service Commission.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and SDS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. Take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for Heads Up Seed Treatment.
It was announced this week the Wisconsin Cranberry Board has invested more than $377,000 in 2025 grant funding. That follows a strong 2024 harvest of 6.1 million barrels. That means Wisconsin's remained the national leader in cranberry production for the 30th consecutive year. More in a moment.
Are you looking to sell your excess construction equipment? Trust Steffes Group's team of professionals to get you the best return on your investment. Steffes Group is a nationally recognized leader in the auction business with over 60 years of experience. Our team of professionals prioritizes honesty, integrity, and outstanding service, and we work with you every step of the way to ensure a smooth and successful auction process. Visit steffesgroup.com to find a sales representative near you and discuss your options today.
Another quick reminder, Alice in Dairyland finale tickets are available online now. Crawford County hosting the big event for the first time, May 15th through the 17th. You can learn more about the finale details and get those tickets online, aliceindairyland.com. I'm PM Yonke.
This report sponsored by the City of Marinette, home of the Queen Marinette Run the River Powerboat Races, June 7th and 8th. More details at fishonmarinette.com.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Not a bad mid-April day with sunny skies, and we finally get a break from the wind as well. High temperatures in the lower 50s. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows in the mid-30s. On Thursday, some showers developing in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 50s. Current temperature is 33.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette's Run the River Powerboat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. The action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the day. Free for the whole family, this is the perfect summertime weekend getaway. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
This week, we are talking with Emmy award-winning journalist and Green Bay gal, Kelly Peterson, and Lana Nyland, founder and CEO of Ukrainian Patriot.
Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 3 on WGBW and WISS. ISS.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Sitting on two of the Great Lakes puts Wisconsin in a unique position regarding maritime commerce and shipbuilding for military interests. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin says adding Buy America and Made in America requirements to the defense bill helps strengthen the industry.
By the way, you know, we know about the big shipyards in Wisconsin, but there are hundreds of and upon hundreds of small businesses that supply certain components for those ships.
Baldwin added that she'll be happy to work with President Donald Trump on efforts to resurrect the U.S. shipbuilding industry. Early in his current administration, the president said he was committed to that objective. Last week, Trump directed the Department of Defense to explore actions that could help bring commercial shipbuilding back to the United States. A 45-year-old Green Bay woman is formally charged with the stabbing death of her fiancé Sunday night. Tanya Piontek is charged with first-degree intentional homicide, use of a dangerous weapon, and domestic abuse. The criminal complaint says Piontek phoned 911 to report that she had stabbed the man. A neighbor told police they had been arguing for about 90 minutes. Autopsy results show the victim was stabbed with an almost 8-inch blade. Piontek made her initial court appearance yesterday, where a $1 million cash bond was set. Following an incident in January where a 13-year-old student was handcuffed and pinned under a school resource officer for more than 2 minutes, the Oshkosh Area School District has placed Dean of Students Christopher Willems on administrative leave for the remainder of the school year. Originally, Willems was placed on a 5-day suspension following the incident while an investigation occurred. The district investigation found Willems' actions violated school protocol and led to the student's detainment. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3, 96.5 FM, WISS. And, of course, the Civic Media app, 33 in downtown Green Bay, 36 in Appleton, 34 in downtown Oshkosh, high in the lower 50s, and some sunshine today. Well, I'll tell you what, we're talking about something right now that this is funny. Since the day I moved to Green Bay, basically, till now, I've seen the wonderful transgression water-wise with the Fox and other bodies of water, and you never really knew who was behind the scenes, behind the curtain, making this stuff work. And it's great to have two guys in here right now, Dean Holger and Charlie Frisk, Vice President, Clean Water Action Council, 40th anniversary, Dean, Executive Director, Board President, Charlie, Vice President. What you guys have done since 1985, like I said, since I first moved to town here, is pretty amazing, where you've taken two incredible bodies. You took a body of water that, as you during the break, it was almost like a living sewer, and now it's one of the great fisheries in the United States. That's a pretty commendable achievement, isn't it?
Yes, certainly is.
Good morning.
And it's Charlie, I've known you for years, and you've just kept at it. And sometimes it's a little bit, we live in a great community, but it's a little bit overshadowed sometimes by other things. I mean, we, you know, Packers, and right now this week it's all the draft. And I'm so glad that you came this week on your 40th anniversary, because we need to talk about what really makes this community work, and the fact that, you know, the Clean Water Action Council is celebrating 40 years. And take us back to, you know, 1985, when you two guys are like, look, we got to do something here. I mean, we've got, you know, the only thing we got here is carp and bullhead, and nothing's happening in the water.
It's like a Lake Erie almost, right? Wasn't it, in certain ways?
Yeah. Well, the Clean Water Action Council began in 1985, and the thing that triggered it was the arrival of the Greenpeace ship, the Free. And they came in July of 1985, and they came here to highlight the problems of the toxics, PCBs in particular, that were being dumped into the Fox River and into Green Bay. Now, it was already pretty exciting to have an international organization like Greenpeace arriving in Green Bay, but it became a whole lot more exciting when about 2 or 3 weeks before the arrival of the Free in New Zealand, the French Secret Service bombed the ship, the Rainbow Warrior, that was there to, the Greenpeace ship, the Rainbow Warrior, was there protesting the fact that the French government was testing nuclear bombs on islands in the South Pacific.
Bikini Island.
Yep.
Bikini Island was one of the big ones.
Yep, Bikini Atoll.
Bikini Atoll, yeah.
Yes, and they sunk the ship and they killed the Greenpeace photographer. He was killed in the explosion. And so all of a sudden, this was very controversial. The original property owner that was going to let the Greenpeace ship dock refused to let them dock because he was concerned about something like that happening here. And eventually the city of Green Bay agreed to let them dock at the city dock. And after Greenpeace, the very afternoon that they left, about a dozen of us got together and said, we've got to do something. You know, they're going to leave and nothing's going to happen. And that's when we formed the Clean Water Action Council.
If I could ask this, how did Greenpeace go from Australia, New Zealand, the South Pacific, Bikini Atoll, to knowing about the Fox River in downtown Green Bay being such an issue?
I think that the degree of toxics, there had been studies being done on that, and they realized that because of the Federal Clean Water Act of 1972, that the fishing was starting to recover, but the fish were dangerous to eat. Yeah. And they were causing the cross-billed cormorants and things like that. There were fish, you know, birds that were dying because of the toxins.
They'd eat the fish that had the toxins
in them. Yep, and that's why that happened. And the cleanup of the PCBs was kind of a signature victory for the Clean Water Action Council. I've talked to people that... other people that were involved in that, and they said, had it not been for Clean Water Action Council, they're not sure if we'd ever got the PCBs out of the Fox River.
Unbelievable.
And that,
Dean, I pronounce your last name for me, Holger.
That is correct.
Holger. Okay. Want to make sure I got that right. Executive Director, Board President, and Charlie Frisk, Vice President, Clean Water Action Council, 40th anniversary. When you guys started this, did you have any vision you're going to turn that from a sewer, literally, to one of the great fishing spots in the United States? Whoever wants
well,
to jump
I,
in.
I well, do think that that
was that
our
the
goal.
Ultimate goal? Yeah,
the fishing was already getting pretty good.
Yeah.
The fish just weren't
edible.
Couldn't
eat them,
yeah.
But did you think it was going to turn into this unbelievable cleanup? I mean, that...
Right, I mean, 30 years in the process,
right?
Everybody, I mean,
yeah. Was that the goal back then?
That
I mean,
was the goal.
And that,
was the goal. You know, I know there was... You know, there was quite a battle over just how thorough the cleanup should be.
Right.
And there capping were, you know, some wanted dredging. Just to do capping. And the Clean Water Action Council continually said that the really contaminated areas need to be dredged. And so it ended up being a combination of capping and dredging, which made it financially feasible. And it was, you know, it was a great success. There's still PCBs out there, but they're at a safe level now, and they're dropping every year.
Were people years ago, let's say 60 years ago, were people, factories, whomever, allowed to dump literally anything they wanted into the water?
Yeah.
Like, were there any restrictions?
Before the Federal Clean Water Act, there were virtually no restrictions. I mean, I've heard that the Wisconsin River in Stevens Point, that small animals could actually walk across the river on top of the debris that was being dumped into the river.
Unbelievable.
That was one of the many...
And this is in our lifetime. We're not talking the 20s.
Well, no, the county board, we were at a ton of meetings together on that stuff. But one of the arguments were, the paper companies paid for this, but they were like, it wasn't illegal at the time. I mean, it just wasn't. Yep. I mean, that was a fact. But
did we not know what PCBs were then? Did we not know the ramifications?
I think actually when they first started dumping them, people did not know the ramifications. Right. I think it started to show with the wildlife, and then people thinking, well, if it's doing
what's
this to the wildlife,
that,
what can it do to
our kids?
Right.
But anyway, that did get resolved, and it did get cleaned up. And I mean, you guys got to feel great about that. You're both educators, which I think you've stuck with it. What I give you both credit for, and I've been to, we've all been to a lot of your meetings, you've kept this on the front page.
Well, and the thing is that when the PCB battle was over, there were many others, and Dean is much more qualified to talk to you about the accomplishments that the Clean Water Action Council has made since the time of the PCB battle, because there have been many since then.
Well, one of the things that Clean Water Action Council does is it hears from the community and its members about things that they're concerned about. So people bring issues to us, and we study the issue, we look at it, what can we do, is it really something that is relevant? Is it factual information they're giving to us. So after our research, we decide whether we're going to take any action or not. And that's a key part of our title, Clean Water Action Council, is taking action. So when I came on, the first action that was brought to me, our concern, was the gasification incinerator. People were complaining and worried, and what are we going to do about that? And we took a little different position than just saying it's bad for health. We said, was there something wrong with the permit that was issued? Was there something that wasn't proper? And that's how we approached it. And in the end, the city did rescind the permit, and a local judge, circuit court judge, agreed with the city that it was, in fact, fraud involved in the permit. So that was the first thing that was brought to us. Other things were brought to us as well, such as water pollution in Kewaunee County. Drinking water was a real concern in Kewaunee County, so we got involved there and worked with the DNR. The DNR invited us to be part of their technical advisory committee to rewrite NR 151 manure spreading rules in areas where there was karst topography. That's where there's limestone that's fractured and not a lot of soil. Well, that just didn't happen. The DNR just didn't say, we got to do something about that. Instead, Clean Water Action Council and several other groups petitioned the EPA to come in under the Safe Drinking Water Act and tell the state they had to do something, because the states are there's a federal act, but the states are commissioned to enforce that act. So after the EPA came in, we had a lot of meetings, environmental groups, citizen groups, farm groups came in, and we came up with some ideas, and eventually those changes were made to the manure spreading rules.
Who are some of the people that have been the major players to make, to turn this all around? You know, from where we were in 1985 to where we are in 2025, who are some people you'd like to give some accolades to that really stepped up? Because it wasn't even all that popular of a thing at first, was it? There was like some, you know, pushback, correct?
Correct. And in the early years of Clean Water Action Council, Becky Caters was our director, and she was really a driver for the idea that we have to get those PCBs out of the river. Very, very persistent. I would say that since that time, Dean Holger has been our major driver here with the Clean Water Action Council. Becky reached a point where she was ready to retire from the position, and Dean stepped in, and we haven't had, like one thing that dominated totally like the PCB battle did. There's a lot of other things that Dean can tell you about that we've been dealing with in the time since that. And one that he just mentioned, the problem of the manure spreading from the giant dairy farms, is one of the biggest right now.
And that's something that's in the news a lot. Are you looking for membership? How's your organization, and what is the reach of your organization? Is it a couple counties? And you said Kewaunee, Brown?
We're a Northeast Wisconsin organization, so we have about 8 counties that we do a lot of work in. And, it's a lot of focus in Brown, Kewaunee, Door, Marinette, Manitowoc, and this region. So we're having a huge banquet tomorrow night at the Riverside Ballroom, and we still have tickets available until 5 p.m. today. It's on our website, cleanwateractioncouncil.org, and you can purchase tickets there. And we practice what we preach. The banquet food venue is being supplied by a local farm, organic grass-fed beef, and locally produced, grown portobello mushrooms for the vegetarians that are organic. So, we really practice what we preach, and we're really pleased that the Riverside Ballroom works with us to do that. They're just not taking food off of a delivery truck and putting it out there for us.
Great new owners there, aren't there? We enjoy working with them as well. CleanWaterActionCouncil.org.
That is
everything's
correct.
On there.
Yes.
Okay. And anyone can come. It's open to anyone?
It is.
Okay. Then they can get information on all the things that you're working on and are going to continue to work on.
Right. And we're always looking for increasing our membership.
Right.
We're at about 550 right now.
Nice.
Somebody can join at the banquet. And we have great musical entertainment. Often we have an educational piece, learning about invasive species or legal issues. We decide we should celebrate this year. We have a musician who's kind of going to be entertaining us this time.
Thanks for what you're doing, you guys. You're just making a community
congratulations.
Great.
Right, what a success story.
Thank you.
What an amazing success story from a living sewer to one of the great fishing bodies in the country.
Right. CleanWaterActionCouncil.org. Go to their website. There's an event tomorrow night, you said, but didn't get tickets till 5 o'clock today. All right. Or just get information. Join this organization. It's great.
Thank you, Dean and Charlie. Appreciate it.
You're listening to The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Ready for the ultimate getaway? Picture this, a cozy cabin in Wisconsin's Northwoods, surrounded by nature's beauty, crystal clear lakes, and endless adventure. Be it fishing, boating, snowmobiling, or just kicking back by a campfire under the stars. This is relaxation like never before. Cook your own meals, enjoy private docks, and even bring your furry friends along for the ride. It's a perfect spot for family fun, a romantic retreat, and more. What kind of trip are you planning? Book your Northwoods vacation rental at SimpleLifeRentals.com.
Feeling better is about feeling all kinds of things. You want to feel healthy, sure. But you also want to feel heard and understood, valued, even, well, loved. That's what we want, too. We're Amplify Health, and we think the best way to care for someone is to care about them. That's why all our treatments include a little empathy. Welcome to healthcare that's all about caring. Welcome to Amplify Health by Belen. A little empathy changes everything.
While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Kerrigan Brothers Winery in Kaukauna, Stillmank Brewing Company in Green Bay, Old Station 31 Spirits in Dale, and Old Bavarian Brewing Company in Appleton. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. Drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor. Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here, 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3, 96.5 FM WISS. Coming right from Appleton and Oshkosh, of course, the Civic Media app. We got the Milwaukee Brewers on the air, 11:35 today on WISS. Wrap it up against the Detroit Tigers. Tigers and Brewers, 11:35 on WISS. Great having those guys here. Jim, we got a question from Kathy, though, and I've asked this question, too. Whatever happened to cleaning the water for a beach at Bay Beach?
Well, do I know?
I don't. I mean, that's kind of, it seems like every few years that pops back up, doesn't it?
It should be on the front burner. That is a doable project, John. That is a doable project. It's been done on other shorelines in the state of Wisconsin. It's not a priority right now for this administration, and that's fine. You know, he can do whatever he wants, but that can and should be done. It still needs a little bit more energy. It needs more money.
But it was once an actual beach, right?
Oh, yeah. It was a swimming beach.
A swimming beach.
You know who loved swimming in that beach was Mrs. Bush from over across the street here.
Barbara?
Yeah. No, Barbara. No, not Barbara Bush.
Nam? No.
That's the daughter.
Okay. I know who you mean. Yeah,
it was Mrs. Bush to me. Okay. Bob Bush's wife.
Yes. Okay. And it was great. I knew her well.
That was us. Yes.
But what I'm saying is, a horrible storm came through and like wrecked the something, and then
the
it never
shoreline
was rebuilt?
But yes, that could be restored. There was some algae issues that were
there. That's right.
But that all has to be cleaned up. It's been studied till.
But I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, not for 40 years,
really,
but what these guys did, they took one of the worst, most poisonous bodies of water, and in a long time it took, I know, to turn into one of the great fishing venues in the United States.
They need to get behind this project. They've been out there before, and they support the Bay Beach project. But you know, it costs money to clean that up, but it has to be tested. It can be a swimming beach. I don't have a good answer for her. That needs to be it can be done. I mean, when I was, that was a very high priority for me to make that a swimming beach. And I think it can still be done, but it's not right now.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sorry to say that. I wish I had a better answer.
But it's not like you're not seeing, well, it's still loaded with PCBs and we got a dredge
I mean, he talked about that. Yeah. The PCBs, you know, that was all flowing down from, you know, down the Fox into that bay, and that's not happening anymore.
Okay.
He said that. So,
there is a chance that could be.
Absolutely.
I think that'd be huge for Green Bay.
Yes.
I think that would be so huge. It's incredible.
And we called it Bay Beach for a reason, right? It was a beach.
There was a beach.
Swimming beach.
Swimming beach.
Wasn't called Bay Carnival.
And now deep thoughts.
Well, no, I just think
I love it when he argues with himself.
That can be done, but again, it's expensive. It costs money. It's got to become a priority, and every administration has their priorities. And I think that's on the list, but it's not at the top of the list.
All right, Todd, let's talk a little bit about what today is when it comes to.
Yes, this is fun.
Some great breweries.
That's right. Top craft pick. We're talking about breweries and cideries and distilleries and wineries in Northeast Wisconsin. Friday, 2 days from now at 5 o'clock, is the final time for you to vote for the top craft pick with Mino and the Mayor. We've got 10 from around the area all the way down to Fond du Lac, all the way north of Green Bay. And all you got to do is go to our website, wgbw.fm or wiss.fm. Click on Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick. It's really simple. It'll be right at the top. You choose that, and that's where you get more details about each of the people who are on board. Sturgeon Spirits is one of them. New Denmark Distillery, Duck Creek Winery. Fifth Ward Brewery. Captain's Walk Winery. Stillmank right here in Green Bay. OB Brewhouse. Brauhaus in Appleton, Kerrigan Brothers Winery, Ledge Rock Distillery, Timekeeper Distillery, Old Station 31 Spirits in Dale. All of these, one of them will be crowned the top craft pick next week right here on Mino and the Mayor.
Love it.
And we've tasted all of them.
Something from all of them.
Right.
Yeah.
We haven't been to all of them. Have we? No.
You have not.
But we are going to.
We're going to.
This summer, I will say guarantee that everyone that's taking part in this, we or one of us or somebody will attend every one of them.
And we've talked or met the proprietors of all of them. And they're all
so impressive.
I was going to say they're all tied for one for customer service.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Do they care about their customers, their packaging, their customer service?
Yep.
They are. And talk about working together, the entrepreneurial spirit. We're going to try new products. And I don't know. Those are fun places to go to. And when they come and vote for them, is there a link to their business then?
Because you can get there as well.
Okay.
Yep.
Because it's cool. Some of the summer programs they're going to have.
Absolutely.
Those outdoor events. That
no question.
Music and
tasting. Learn about these places when you go there. I mean, to learn about how their water comes from the limestone cliffs around their place. And they grow something right here. Take it into the laboratory or whatever you want to call it. And make stuff out of it.
We just had two of the biggest environmentalist guys you're ever going to meet on our show. And you talk about taking care of the environment.
Yeah.
Go to these breweries and these wineries. That stuff is all purchased within.
The only thing that surprised me, though, is the person we had on the other day. And we're talking about the corn. Do you grow?
Tavia?
You know, yes, Tavia. And it's like Wisconsin corn isn't the quite right something.
For her bourbon.
For her bourbon.
One of her bourbons, she needed corn from Illinois. And that was, what did she say?
It was a white corn. Wisconsin was like the king of corn, but I guess it's not compared to.
But it was white corn. It wasn't like.
Right, it's organic white
corn.
That
bourbon was phenomenal.
Yeah, you drank a lot of it.
No, I didn't drink a lot. She gave me the little sniffer.
Yeah,
she gave it.
That's all it took, though, wasn't it?
No. Did you see? I don't think you were here. He drank that, and then he took the glass back. Could you fill that up?
Did you?
And then he went to his room. John, don't look at me like I don't
know. Do you know who I got
busted
by walking down the sidewalk here with that?
You really can't have open alcohol on the sidewalk.
The parking meter guy.
So that did look good. The other thing I think that they are spending a lot more time on, I mean, obviously the product is great, but their packaging is cool.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Packaging has gotten stale in the big companies.
That has become a big part of the whole
program.
Some
of the stuff is
art.
Really,
it's art.
Art. That's a good way.
Like I said, I don't want to tap this beer that Mary brought us. I want to save
but
that.
But we will.
I know. Quick break. Back with the Press Times.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
This week, we are talking with Emmy Award-winning journalist and Green Bay gal, Kelly Peterson, and Lana Nyland, founder and CEO of Ukrainian Patriot.
Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 3 on WGBW and WISS.
Hey, Gina, did you hear about the draft?
Wayne, there's no draft at Pella.
There's definitely a draft, right, Wildy?
Yeah, everybody's talking about it.
Pella windows are constructed of the highest quality. No drafts. But Pella should be everyone's number one pick because right now at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, get no interest financing options or free glass upgrades.
So where is the draft?
Coon. Visit PellaWI.com today.
Certain restrictions apply. It's 4/30/2025.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Despite the freezing of more than $2 billion in federal aid, Harvard University is not budging in its refusal to let the Trump administration change its policies. ABC's Will Reeve is on campus with more.
Harvard is digging in. The university president writing in a statement, "No government, regardless of which party is in power, should dictate what private universities can teach, whom they can admit and hire, and which areas of study and inquiry they can pursue." President Obama writing on social media, "Harvard has set an example for other higher ed institutions, rejecting an unlawful and ham-handed attempt to stifle academic freedom. Let's hope other institutions follow suit."
President Trump says he's joining some of his top economic advisors for negotiations at the White House over tariffs and trade with a top Japanese official who is traveling to Washington for talks. China announcing today its economy grew at a 5.4% rate in the first quarter of the year. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hayes.